Do you think that if a man always did what was right, he would be treated right? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This is the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Romans, in the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. And again he goes on in the 8th verse of the same chapter to say, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Just now the whole world is being reminded of the suffering on Calvary's cross. And it will help any of us to remember that he did not have to do this. The suffering of Jesus Christ was voluntary. He himself made it, let it be known, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down, I take it up." This was made very clear. And it helps us to understand. This is what he came to do. He himself said, "To this end came I forth. It's for this I was born, that he might give his life a ransom for many." Anyone will have a new view of the love of God when we recall that he gave his beloved Son. It isn't just that God is merciful and kind to us in general. It isn't just that he is sympathetic and that he would help us out in any way that he can as the things go along. And if there's any opportunity to help us, he'll help us. That's not exactly the way in which it is. We're to understand that Almighty God sent his Son into the world specifically to die for us that we might be saved. And just now, when all the world is conscious of the death of Jesus of Nazareth, and Christian people everywhere are celebrating the cross of Calvary as an indication of the measure of the love of God, and telling the whole world that Christ Jesus died for them, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not be perished but have everlasting life, all of this brings to our mind one simple idea. The Bible teaches us that God sent his Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. And he did so knowing that it was going to cost his Son humiliation and suffering and eventually death itself. Now the portion of scripture that we're going to read today is in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel. If you have the Gospel of John with you, and open at the 19th chapter. And we're going to read verses 13 to 17. And as we read along in here, you will see several different persons mentioned, several different groups of people mentioned, each of them with a particular consideration. Let me draw your attention to it as we go along. We're reading in chapter 19, and I'm going to start reading at verse 13. "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha." Now, the point in there that you will notice is about Pilate. "And he brought Jesus forth," but tells you when he heard these things. What he had heard just previous to this was that his political life, his political relationship with the empire, would be affected if he did not invoke the penalty of death on this person, Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be a king. And when this had been brought to Pilate's attention, he brought Jesus forth, and he himself went and sat on the judgment seat, intending to condemn him in order that he might personally protect his own spiritual, his own political being, his own political fortunes. And at that point, I want to say the principal interest of Pilate was his political interest, his personal political interest. How often do men set aside their own deeper judgment because of possible peril to their present personal fortunes? Here's a man who really realizes that a certain thing might be fair and just and right, but it wouldn't be suitable to his company, wouldn't be as good as his company needs. And so he is often called on to change his procedure and do the thing that would please the company, because that's who he belongs to. And many a man will compromise his personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in order that he might be considered a fine man on the part of the business establishment he belongs to. Now look at verse 14. "It was the preparation of the Passover in about the 6th hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king." Here I want to bring in the matter of the Jews. At the time this was taking place, here you have the Jews getting ready for the Passover, and it was about noon on that day. The principal interest of the Jews in this instance was their tradition. They were going to do what they had always done traditionally. And how often is it true that many of us, in connection with our church life and work, we actually deny the very gospel we profess while we carry out some routine church activity? We go through the motions of something, and it requires certain conduct and so on. We follow it through regardless of what it does to people, and in so doing, we are showing again how our primary interest is just our tradition, whatever it may be. Now when you come to verse 15, they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Here you find the principal interest of the leaders, of those who were in charge of that whole demonstration. Their principal interest was their planned purpose. They had planned to actually see to it this man was disposed of, and they carried on through to the end. How often do we notice high-pressure tactics that are used to perform the work of God? People claim they're doing the work of God, but they're going about it purely as a business, doing these things just because they need to be done, as they would say, in a practical way, not realizing that many times this practical principle that they're following is actually an unbelieving one. They are counting on man rather than on God. And now look in verse 16 in this remarkable passage. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." The implication is, with dispatch. When the Lord Jesus was turned over to them, they went on about their work. And if you were to ask yourself what was the principal interest of the soldiers, I would say to complete their task. Whatever it was given to them to do, they wanted to go ahead and get it done so they'd be through. How often is injustice done by men who carry out orders? Now, these soldiers would do, they just carry out orders. And if anybody had asked them, "Why can't you do something for this man?" they would have said, "Well, all I have to do is do what I'm told." And that kind of thing, doing what we're told, doing because other people say so, may possibly bring us into periods of experience wherein we're actually not pleasing the Lord, because the person who is telling you may be somebody else who really has no interest in the Lord and is telling you what to do and affecting you in that way. Now, here, so far as the soldiers were concerned, all they had to do was to complete their task, and this is what they proceeded immediately to do. Now, in verse 17, and we read this, "He, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull." And here I see that the principal interest of Christ the Lord was to do his Father's will. I don't think I would ever say that the Lord's primary interest was to die, certainly not from dying's sake, but his primary interest was to do his Father's will. And he felt that the only way he could do his Father's will would be to go to the cross and to die there. And so here we see, "He, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull." There's no evidence that he held back, no evidence that he was hesitant about going. He just picked it up and went along. Here is a remarkable revelation of the dynamic interests of these various groups among men. In this hurried way we've gone over, we have seen in verse 13, Pilate's primary consideration was his political interest. In verse 14, the Jews' primary consideration was the keeping of their traditional Passover. In verse 15, the primary interest of the leaders was their planned purpose. They meant to get rid of him, and they were going to plan to do it in any way they possibly could. And in verse 16, the principal interest of the soldiers was to complete their task. They were going to have the responsibility of executing this man. They were going to execute him and be through with it. So they went on immediately and led him on in this way. In verse 17, we see that the principal interest of Christ Jesus was to do his Father's will. He picked up the cross and carried it on to do his Father's will. He went into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Here we see, as I say, the various dynamic interests that there are of different groups and different men here on the face of the earth. Now, in all this welter of confusion, with people doing for good reason and for bad reason, for short reason and for long reason, and various things that they're thinking about, in this welter of confusion, God's will is done. There's no indication or hint that God's will is going to change because of the circumstances or because of what happened. He'll carry out his purpose, and we can have a share with him if we will. We should be careful not to celebrate life eternal as from the Lord without we realize what it actually cost. because you'll remember how the Lord Jesus Christ has really suffered when he has gone through with this. He is used with reference to these times. He is often referred to as having done this and having done that and having accomplished this and accomplished that. But you can keep in mind there was one big thing that he came to accomplish. He came to die for our sins and to be raised from the dead so that we also could be raised from the dead. And all over amongst us in these days, and especially when we're coming around to the time of the annual occasion when we remember the crucifixion of the Lord and his resurrection, in all this time we are going on with this, we can keep one thing in mind, that so far as he was concerned, he was going on through with it because the Father in heaven wanted him to. But it was going to cost him his life. You and I can oftentimes say to each other, what a wonderful thing it is that God gives us eternal life. Yes, it's wonderful, but it cost the life of his Son. We may readily think sometimes what a wonderful thing it is we have forgiveness, to think that we can be absolutely free before God. Yes, but it cost the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Let us just keep in mind, so far as we're concerned, that the blessing we receive from God, we receive at the cost of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us in these days that we may be aware of these things and remember them. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.